Good morning. We will be back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This morning we'll be reading verses 1 through 6, not 1 through 5. So we've just left verse 5. So if you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Our text this morning will be that love rejoices not in iniquity. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me not. Nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Brothers and sisters, this morning we will be talking about rejoicing not in iniquity. But let me share with you just real briefly why it is so important we spend so much time talking about love and loving one another. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Let me reread that. This is the Bible. This is not my word exhorting us this morning. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth God is born of God and knoweth God. But verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And brothers and sisters, if there's one general area that I see that we, this local body, could grow in, if I see that there's one general area that the Catholic Church, the worldwide church, could grow in, it is love. For I fear for our souls. So love rejoices not in iniquity. Rejoiceth. Is this word, this Greek word, chairo. It's used 74 times in the King James as a verb. It's used to rejoice, mostly, and to be glad. It's used as the word joy, and even hail as a greeting. The word means basically cheerful, or glad, or rejoice. And then also, not in iniquity. Adikia is iniquity. It's used 25 times in the King James. It's translated 16 times as unrighteousness, and other times as iniquity, unjust, and wrong. The word means a violation of the law, or even something that is unjust. Or an injustice, maybe a ruling that is unjust. Let me give context for the word rejoice, a chairo. In Matthew 5:22, rejoice or chairo and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. This is the level of rejoicing that we're talking about. Great is your reward in heaven. And also a parallel verse in Luke 6:23, chairo in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. And so this is that glad feeling, that feeling of cheer that you have when you think upon heaven, when you think upon the troubles of this day and how they fade away and they dissipate. Because the glory of God and His glory shines brightly through them. And it's that feeling that comes of cheer and rejoicing through that. We also use rejoicing in an improper way. And that's what this verse is referring to. Sometimes we rejoice in adikia. Romans 1:29 being filled with all arachia. Being filled with all iniquity is the translation. Being filled with all arachia, which is fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Does that about cover it? The exhortation here, brothers and sisters, is that love is not made glad by iniquity or by unrighteousness. And sometimes it's our standard, even. But we must take this standard of iniquity or of unrighteousness that is laid out for us in the Bible, and not by our own standard. It's not loving to affirm, to condone, or to support iniquity or things that are unrighteous. It is rather unloving. It is rather unloving to support, to condone iniquity. And as 1 Corinthians 13:6 in the second portion that we'll talk about next week, it is rather proper to rejoice in the truth. So how is it that we rejoice in iniquity? Sometimes this comes when someone or something that is very near and dear to us rejoices in iniquity or in sin. And so as not to offend that certain someone or that certain something, we partake. We laugh at the coarse jesting. We give money to buy movies riddled with fornication, murder, taking the Lord's name in vain, dishonor of parents, cruelty, bearing false witness and trickery, backbiting, covetousness, homosexuality. This sound a little bit like Romans 1, 29, 30. What is it that puts you in a mood to celebrate, that gives you cause for rejoicing? These are things that you need to think about. And young people, I encourage you especially to consider these things, because these things become hard to leave. They're hard to leave when you leave home. So set your affections on the things that are above and rejoice in those things that are above. What makes you laugh? Does it have to be a really funny joke? Does it have to be a really dirty joke? Something that's very improper? Does it have to be when somebody is fooled with sarcasm or fooled by presenting something that is not true and then tricking them? Is this what makes you laugh? And this is the behavior that we find as we grow up as young people. We rejoice in these things. We laugh. We used to laugh at each other on the ski slopes when we would wreck. And sometimes it would really hurt. But maybe the laughing helped us to get up and sort of shake it off. Well, what do you laugh at? Ultimately, what we rejoice in is what we confess. If a woman who is betrothed rejoices in the appearance of her fiancé's enemy, let me restate that. If a woman who is betrothed rejoices in the appearance of her fiancé's enemy, everybody with me? Will her husband have cause for offense? If a soldier is glad because the enemy killed an unlikable member in his battalion, is he still guilty of treason in his heart? When we rejoice in iniquity, we confuse that which is evil with that which is good. And it could be another way which we cause others to stumble. When we rejoice in iniquity, we are painting over the true picture of Christ. Let me restate that. When we rejoice in iniquity, we are painting over the true picture of Christ, making it impossible for others to see Him. And this is why it is unloving to rejoice in iniquity. Let me read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, when we rejoice in iniquity, it is unloving to hide the face of Jesus Christ. When we rejoice in iniquity, we are hiding the face of Jesus Christ. We are painting over His face, His true face, not the face you see on somebody's wall, but His true face, the true picture of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, let us not take this lightly, rejoicing in iniquity. Let us take it very seriously. Let us instruct our children in this way, to not rejoice in iniquity the same. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we confess to you that we have been ones who rejoice, who are being made glad by unrighteousness, by wicked deeds even, by wickedness. Father, sometimes we have rejoiced so much to even confuse ourselves as to what is good and what is not good. And Father, I pray that you would help us. We, God, repent of these things. And we confess to you specifically how we have done these things in not loving our brothers and sisters in a personal and real way. Father, in a way that brings glory to the gospel of Jesus Christ, in a way that makes manifest His love to us and to His people, to the church, to the people of this world. Father, we have painted over your face. We have been ashamed of you, and we have hidden your face from the light of the world. And Father, I pray that we would repent of this, that we would turn from rejoicing in iniquity, that we would indeed rejoice in the truth we'll talk about next week. And Father, that we might bring you glory, that we might make you known. Lord, it is not about us. It is not about what makes us happy and what pleases us, what causes us to be happy. For God, you have done this for us through one act of dying for us and giving us life through your blood. Father, we thank you that you have lifted the heavy weight and the burden of sin from our shoulders, and you promise that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And not only that, Lord, but your promise is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, I pray now that we would believe this as we confess our own personal sins to you.